Back in the 1930s, tribal fishing villages lined the banks of the Columbia River. You can see old photos showing two-story wooden houses and fish nets and salmon drying on racks. When the Bonneville Dam was built, those fishing villages went underwater. Today, tribal fishers live above the new water line at sites that are not meant for human habitation. Well, some new legislation aims to change that. Reporter Kate Prangeman with the Yakima Herald Republic went to a few of the sites near the Bonneville Dam to see how these tribal fishers are living.
People are living in small trailers and, hand-built homes that lack water and sometimes lack electricity. And there are bathhouses that were designed for day use only, and that provides the water for up to a dozen families in some cases for all of their bathing and cooking and cleaning needs. So there's a lot of hazards. At one of the sites I visited, a home actually burned down because the fire hydrant on the property was not actually connected to a water source. So really substandard conditions at most of these sites.
Why are people living like this?
Well, you talk to different people and you'll hear some different reasons, but what I heard most from tribal members was that they either chose to stay in these places or return to them after their families were kicked off a generation before, because living along the river is, the way of life for their people forever, and they don't want to lose that, connection to their ancestors and their history. So a lot of these families originally resisted moving to the reservation generations ago and chose to stay by the river, and they're continuing to fight for that because they're afraid if they leave, they'll never be allowed back. Johnny Jackson, a Yakima elder that I spoke with at length, told me that he'd been living at one of these sites for 40 years because he knew that if he left, he'd never be able to argue that his people should be allowed to return.
Kate, let's tell the story of how this problem began. What happened?
Well, so what happened was when Bonneville Dam was built, it flooded a lot of traditional fishing sites and villages, some villages that were used, during fishing season, some that were used year-round and had, complete homes of the very modern homes of the era. But when the dam was built, this is a different era in the federal government's history, and they didn't really think about the fact that they had an obligation to relocate the people who were displaced. The Army Corps of Engineers historian told me that at the time, tribal leaders really pushed for fishing access, because the tribal leaders were based on these reservations where most tribal members lived, and fishing access was the most important for them. And so the issue of housing for the hundreds of people who were living along the river sort of got lost in that negotiation. And then more dams got built and more villages got flooded, and then the issue has just grown.
So there are two pieces of federal legislation proposed here. If they're passed, what changes?
Yeah, well, one piece of legislation would immediately move, if passed, to address some of these basic safety and sanitation needs, such as more adequate water supply, fire hydrants, that sort of thing. And that, if passed, could move quite quickly to address some of the problems. The other piece would be funding to study and develop a housing plan. So that's going to be a little bit slower, progress, because these issues are so complicated, but it would definitely get the ball rolling on finding what some long-term solutions would look like.
Kate, this started because of broken promises from the federal government. Why should we think the federal government is going to solve it now?
Well, that's a good question. The Corps of Engineers told me that if Congress directs them to address this problem, they are prepared to work with tribal leadership to do so if there's direction and funding provided to the Corps. They're ready to do this. So it's a question of political will, I think, for sure. So there's a lot of things that need to happen, but there's a lot of energy around the issue now, and the next step is going to be for tribal leaders to figure out if the federal government does come through with its promise to provide funding and build housing, who is that housing going to go to? Is it going to go to families that the tribes can identify who were displaced generations ago? Is it going to go to families who are living in these substandard conditions along the river now? You know, what's an equitable way for them to help their communities move forward with this as well? So there's a lot of work still to be done on this issue.
So you went there to report about these broken promises from the federal government with these tribes and at a federal solution. And are you saying you found that this is going to be even more complicated than you thought?
Well, I think that the solution is going to be, yes, very complicated, because if Congress does say, you know, we're going to recognize our obligation here and we're going to provide some money, then there's, you know, years of conversation between the leadership of four different tribal nations to figure out, you know, where best to put housing, who's going to be able to take advantage of that housing. And so there's a lot to come on this issue.
Yakima Herald Republic reporter Kate Prangeman, and we're tweeting out a link to her story right now at KUOW.